Please stand for today's reading. Today's reading is from 2 John. Please turn to page 858 in the Bibles provided on the chairs or to your portable device for 2 John. 2 John 1, verse 1. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. You may be seated. And the children may go back to children's church.
For some thousand years, the practice of foot binding was quite popular, or almost even a demanded tradition in the nation of China. Foot binding is the process where you wrap and bind women's feet, break bones to make the foot smaller, that it never fully matures into the adult life of the woman. It was considered attractive. The women basically became disabled, could barely walk, and the ideal length was 4 inches. Had anybody here ever heard of the term foot binding? I'd never heard of it until I read the book Taipan, written by James Clavell, more famously noted for Shogun. And he discussed the issue of foot binding. And I was kind of appalled. But what is nice here is very few have heard of it because it no longer exists. The practice of breaking a young girl's foot, wrapping them in bandages so they can't grow, basically disabling her, making her unable to walk or walk with a sway and in pain her adult life, no longer exists. Because as missionaries came to China in the 1800s, within one generation, the practice was effectively ended. Within one generation, their cause had won out. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, let us run to win for you, for your cause to win out, Lord, for us to advance your kingdom, to remain faithful to you and not be against you, Lord, stand up to those who would be against you, and run the race in your victory. We pray this, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. The book of 2 John surprisingly talks about love, as does 1 John, over and over and over. We often think of the love chapter from 1 Corinthians, but 1 John, 2 John, 3 John are the book of love. And here in 2 John it says the elder. I believe this is John, most likely the author of the book of Revelation, John the Elder. And I think it's John the Apostle. There might be separate Johns, two of them. Maybe there's three. But it seems to be the same one. And he's writing to the lady chosen by God to her children whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. So John's writing this letter to a church. It seems like there's maybe a lady who is the pastor or the home group leader of this church. Something, maybe that term to the chosen lady is the term for all those in the church, not a specific leader. It seems like she's maybe the leader of this home church. We don't know. But he's talking to them about love and truth. The truth of Jesus Christ and how important it is to know what that truth is, to know what we believe. Now, we all need to grow and mature. No one's never had all the knowledge and arrived. And there's nothing wrong with sometimes saying, so what exactly do we believe on that? Or where do we stand on that? You know, Pastor, what is this Trinity that we believe in? What does it mean that Jesus is God or fully man? Because we should always be seeking to know the truth. And there comes a time, though, when we have to decide that that's what we will do. And it's not just a matter of being saved and saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. We are called to know what we believe. We train our children up that way. We should be raised that way. And if we were not, we need to study and learn the truths of Scripture. And he goes on, verse 3, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father has commanded us. He's glad that they've learned the truth and the love. It's what you would expect. Again, I've said, John is writing this as a parent who loves his little children, who loves his church, loves these people. Maybe he's pastored them in the past. Maybe he doesn't know all of them. Maybe he does know all of them. But he cares about them, and he wants what's best for them. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one which we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. He just keeps saying it over and over and over again. And we've applied it in different ways. How we treat each other. How we reach out. But again, it's just like if you have a kindergarten class, a senior high school class, whether you have children, whether you have family reunions, maybe the worst is family reunions, you just got to remind each other to love each other sometimes. Before and after the family reunion. And he reminds us over and over. And this is love. It's like he's going to define it now for us. That we walk in obedience to his commands. You understand there's a certain hypocrisy to say, I love the Lord. Well, what do you read in the Bible? Well, I really don't read the Bible. How do you know how to follow him if you don't read Scripture? I mean, could you imagine your doctor? I'm going to do a gallbladder surgery. Oh, I love gallbladder surgery. I love medicine. Have you ever studied it? No. But I got a diagram I'm taking into surgery with me. In the same way, we as Christians are called. He says, and this is love. We walk in obedience to his commands. We know what he says and we follow. We don't have to be Bible scholars, but we need to know what he says. And we need to follow it. Not just the parts we like. When he says love, he's saying this side of the room, you got to love that side of the room. I know there's a reason you sit over here. Because they're over there. And they should stay over there. And that's how, don't wave to the other side. But that's how we treat each other sometimes. Those churches and those churches and those Christians, they believe that. Now there's a time when our beliefs can become heresy. They're not Scripture, but we can agree to disagree on some things, but we're to follow Scripture and love one another. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. He just keeps repeating it over and over and over. Because we need to hear it over and over and over. You know, quite frankly, I'm kind of getting bored and frustrated teaching out of 1st and 2nd John. I could just get up here and say, love each other, and we could all go home early. But we know that it takes steps to walk out. You know, the book of James says, what good is it do to your brother or sister if you say, bless and be warmed, and they're naked and unclothed? It takes work to do it, to work out that love. And then he goes in verse 7, I say this. So he's like, okay, I'm telling you these things over and over. There's a reason. Because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Because there's false teachings out there. If you read Scripture, you won't be deceived by them. But there's all kinds of teaching. It's false teaching. It's not the Word of God. They're manipulating it. And I gotta tell you what the truth is. I gotta reiterate to read the truth. And he gets really harsh, you know. He doesn't just say, you know, stay away from him. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, how would you like to be called an Antichrist? You've all seen those movies, The Omen, The Apocalypse. There's different movies. You know, and there's a 666 buried somewhere in their hair. Well, that's some evil person. And John's like, no, no. That's a lot of people. Anybody who deceives and willfully leads people astray. It sounds harsh. But you know what Jesus said in Matthew 12? Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. You have to choose. You have to choose. And John's encouragement is to choose Christ, to choose truth, and to know what you're choosing. To know what you're buying into. And in verse 8, watch out. He's like, be alert, wake up, that you and I, he's talking about these antichrists, another Christ, against Christ, instead of Christ. Watch out that you and I do not lose what we have worked for, but that we may be rewarded fully. Be careful. Now this brings up a lot of real interesting theology. You've probably heard it called once saved, always saved, maybe perseverance of the saints. And in our nation, we have this debate, and there's reasons. I mean, you might have heard of Paul Maxwell. He was a guy who worked with Desiring God, wrote devotionals. Some of you might even have read some of his work. And he says, I'm no longer a Christian. I've walked away. It feels so good. I'm not angry anymore. He doesn't elaborate. I'm not sure what his anger was about, but he's walked away from the faith. Now, there's five views about this, but we're called to run, to watch out, to remain in the faith. You know, there's the view of they were never saved. They never believed in Jesus Christ. Another view, second view, is they're saved or they believe in Jesus Christ and they just don't know it. Because if you believe he's really saved, and if you can't walk away from your salvation, but he doesn't say he's saved, he must be saved and not know it. It sounds kind of stupid. A third kind of view of that is sometimes in our walk in salvation, we may not look and act like Christians because we're going through the deep, dark, ugly valleys of life. And that happens. Maybe Paul Maxwell, 5 years from now, will walk out of this and say, no, I was just going through a dark time. Maybe he was never a believer. You know, at some point, Jesus says to us, get away from me, I never knew you. Well, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name? He goes, I didn't know you. So he's saved. He was never saved. Or he's saved and doesn't know it. Or he's in a dark valley. Some believe you can lose your salvation by sinning. That you finally just sin enough and you're no longer a Christian. And then there's the view that's different. You can forfeit your salvation. That you can choose to follow Jesus Christ and therefore you can stop following Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teachings of Christ does not have God. We're called to run ahead to win and have victory in Jesus Christ. So to me, there's really only three views. You were never saved. You're saved and you're going through a dark valley. I don't believe you can be saved and not know it, or that you can lose it by sinning. But when we read other scripture, it seems that you can forfeit and decide to walk away. Some people think this is common. I don't know. I'd say it's a very uncommon. And regardless of your views on those of scripture, three main views, here's the thing. He says, run ahead. Don't walk away. And see, the reason this is a discussion in the United States is because you can be a Christian here and all's good. And so you're a Christian, you don't act like one because you don't have to. See, if you're a Christian in a nation that punishes Christians, maybe lose your job, maybe you get beaten, maybe your family excommunicates you, who would pretend to be a Christian in that nation? I wouldn't see any hands. Why would anybody do that? But the United States doesn't take much to buy in. Hey, I can go to church and maybe I'll get more business contacts. It's the thing to do. It might get me a job. And so you get wishy-washy Christianity, cushy Christianity. Other countries, that's never an issue, so they never have. I wonder if he's saved or not. You pretty much know. But here's the real issue. He wants us to run in victory for Christ. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teachings has both the Father and the Son. We are encouraged to know the truth, to love the Lord, and to continue in His teachings. We're called to live out our faith that's real, so that nobody would ever have to question. So you'd never have that debate. You know what's funny? That debate splits churches. It does. There's churches that have their names based on this. But yet we don't argue about running ahead to continue, but we'll split a church over the doctrine of how that works. John seems to care more about continue in the teaching of the Father and the Son. And then he warns us, again in verse 10, excuse me. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. Don't be with them. Don't welcome them. Stand up to this. Don't be passive. I have much to write you, but I do not want to use paper. Excuse me, paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister who is chosen by God sends their greetings. Now, this isn't about working with non-Christians. This is about people who claim to be Christians should be Christians. And if their teachings are false, if they claim Christ, but it's fake, and they have a wrong message, avoid them. Stay away from them. They are against Christ. They are an antichrist. We are called to live out our life in Christ, running in truth and hope and love in Christ. We're called, I would say, run to win. We're called to be victorious. Doesn't say things are always going to be good, but we're always called to be victorious in Christ, advancing His kingdom. So we as a church sometimes got to make decisions. Every church does. What if we're doing something and it advances the kingdom of God, but not Grace Fellowship? Well, we can't do that. If our name's not on it, we won't be there. If Jesus' name is on it, we should be there. And it's sad. Sometimes we as churches nationally do that. Again, if you're in some countries where they're persecuting you, you don't say, well, are you this church? Because if you are, we're not going to work with you. They're like, do you love the Lord? Do you follow me, the Lord? Do you appear to Scripture? Yes. Okay, do you agree with this? Well, not necessarily. Okay, you're still good. Let's go. And we stop. Wait, you don't believe in that? Now, if it's unscriptural, but if it's just a different view. We're called to do things that don't always benefit our church, but advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Advance the kingdom of God. We're called to run in victory for His kingdom, not ours. It's like the end of 1 John when he says, keep away from idols. I'll read that. He says, it seems a little odd at the end of 1 John. His Son Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. This is right before the end of the second, 1 John leads into this 2 John. Because is what we're doing for our church an idol? Are we doing it for ourselves, for our own name, for our own glory, for our own business? Who are we doing it for? You know, we often have to test our motives and check who are we doing things for. Are we advancing the kingdom of God? Listen, I want to win. I want to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. I want you to win. I want you to keep running the race. It's not easy. We got to make sure that Christ is first in our life and not other idols. Our career can become an idol and stop us from running in the truth and love. Money, our investments, our children, our family. Many different things can get in the way. But we're called to run in the faith of Jesus Christ. So when we look at foot binding, how in one generation did the traditional practice that had been going on for 1,000 years in their culture come to end? I believe because they ran to win in Jesus Christ and they were building His kingdom and not ours. First of all, these local missionaries go into China and they see this. And they realize it's wrong. They actually make a judgment. Well, that's just their culture. They see how it's hurting women. And then they're smart. They get local Christians to spearhead the movement. They get the locals, people who know what's going on. They get local leaders who are non-Christians involved. And they learn not to speak Christian. Now, these people have moved their whole lives into a foreign country. So these people are all about sacrifice and the gospel. It's kind of hard to question them. But they're smart enough to know to work with non-Christians, local non-Christians. And I would say they learn not to speak Christianese. The Christian message of truth and love and thinking more highly of others than ourselves is universal. But they didn't use Christian terminology. They appealed in God's mercy and grace in a way the local leaders understood. They worked within the cultural context of where they were. They got local Christian leaders. They got local non-Christian leaders. They became a force to be reckoned with, starting institutions to be against this. And within one generation, these girls' lives were changed. Girls that were going to be raised to be basically disabled could now walk. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. We are called to run ahead and run to win. Now, these missionaries were dealing with a culture that was not pro-Christian. It was a very different, secular, a different type of religion. And yet, they ran to win. They made a difference in Christ. They didn't quit. We are not in a Christian culture any longer. I could say 20, 30 years ago, we still were. 40, 50 years ago, definitely. And how that ebbed and flowed throughout the United States of America can be debated, but it obviously would go like this, and we are going like this now. So in many ways, when we're called to run to win, just like John was writing to that church, they were in what's known as Turkey. It was not a Christian culture. They were the minority. And yet he called them to continue in the teachings of the Father and Son. As I say, from week to week, month to month, if I said today, foundational for this is prayer and Scripture. You will never grow in the faith without reading Scripture and praying. You just won't. You can listen to 100 sermons every week. You can read a lot of good Christian books. But if you don't pray and read Scripture, odds are spiritually you'll be at the same place now, and you'll be in that same place in 5 years. Pray, Lord, use me. Pray, Lord, open my eyes to the Scripture that I'm reading. Pray, Lord, let me live out my faith in action. Lord, let me understand this Scripture. Lord, help me to read. If I have difficulty reading, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Pray, Lord, use me. And I feel as a pastor, many times, my job is to help open doors for you. So like on June 12th, a Saturday, I'm setting up where we're going to feed some of the poor on the east side of town, some homeless, some people probably who should have jobs and don't, but they don't eat, and we're going to feed probably 30 or 40 people. And I want us, the church, to join together and make those meals and serve for an hour or two on June 12th. Nurses Week is May 6th through the 12th. Some of us pastors are getting together, and we're going to do a blessing of the hands this Friday where we go around and pray for people in our hospital. Lord, pray, Lord, how can you use me to bless our hospital staff? They've gone through one ugly year, ups and downs. And while they're doing that, you know, certain organizations are going out of their way to take advantages and manipulate hospitals. Those who are hacking into hospital systems are doing more now during COVID than ever before because they know they're distracted. How can we help our medical field in this week, during Nurses Week? National Police Week is May 9th and 15th. In the past, I'd had a group of guys, we're going to go in, but then Quinn, the chief of police, said, the city still does not want us to go in, but he emailed me back and he said, we're good to go. So that week, excuse me, that week of the 9th through the 15th, I've talked to some of you, get with me. If you want to join in, doesn't have to be guys, we're going to go in and we're going to cook breakfast for the police and just demonstrate our support for them. The night shift, we'll probably go in at 5:30 a.m. And then when they shift change happens, like about 7:30, we'll do them. And I want to get another church to do the evening shift. But just show our support. In some cities, cops are just walking off the job and retiring because of the political climate. It's just like pastors. There's always bad apples. I mean, I've heard the pastor jokes. You know, when I walk up to a lawyer, I go, you know any lawyer jokes? He goes, well, you know any pastor jokes? Or we both go, oh yeah. Because the ones that are bad out there, no. I think there's more bad lawyers than pastors, okay? Hope that didn't get caught on camera. No. But, you know, the bad ones make us look bad. Same with police. They need our support. Across racial lines, 70 to 80% of people want more police support. It is a minority that says defund or do away with. They need our support. The hospitals. It's Nurses Week, but really we're just going to support all we can in the hospitals. I've worked with our superintendent here. He first approached me, and now I'm working with Anita Walker. She's the girls' basketball coach, and we really want to get our mentor program back up in the schools next fall. When you talk to some of the principals, they'll say, I got kids in homes without running water, with drugs being sold out of the house, with prostitution coming out of the house. Those kids need a godly influence in their life. Now, the school's not going to ask for just Christians. They're going to ask for everyone. But how much more so believers who can make an impact on a child's life? Because as we get that more and more set up, I'll be asking for more and more volunteers. We go in there, we influence that child, and you think it's only a half hour, an hour. It makes a difference. They even have research to show the difference it makes. One adult, this is Christ-like discipleship, getting involved in the life of a child with a broken home can change the trajectory. You and I can run the race to win and bring somebody along with us in truth and love. Pastor Melvin Simpson, First Church of God in Christ. We've been working together with the MLK service. It's kind of gone different directions, but we're going to be working again, hopefully for next February, because now more than ever, understanding the pastor who said, hate does not drive out hate, only love can do that. It's like he's reading right out of the book of 1st and 2nd John. To emphasize that. Not that we forget our past. We should never forget. But we want to move and build and dwell and build together. And the hope of the dream that Martin Luther King had. All these different things are different ways and methods to advance the kingdom of God, to run with victory, to give us as Christians the ability, the opportunity to run with truth and love in a real and personal way. Reading 1 John, 2 John, all these things I've mentioned are just ways to demonstrate everything he said over and over and over. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not a pessimist, but let's face it, society, Hollywood, social media, corporations, they are not on a Christian worldview side. In fact, I would say they're not neutral. They're actually outright against many of the things we believe on. But you know what? Jesus lived in a world that was against him. As John the Elder wrote this book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, his society did not believe and support him. And yet we are called to run the race to victory in the truth and love of Jesus Christ. We are called to run to win. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us take these words of love and truth. You repeat over and over again, Father. Let us take these words to heart, Lord. Lord, let us pray, use me. Let us devote ourselves to the reading of Holy Scripture. Let us devote ourselves to prayer. Lord, let us live out our Christian love, our Christian truth, to know what you say. To not only know what you say, but to do it. Let us be first and foremost as Christians in our community, being active in our faith, reaching out beyond our own world, our own group of friends, our own church, to advance your kingdom. Lord, be with us. Let us run in your love and truth. We pray this, Lord, in your holy name. Amen and amen.